give the mic to nature and then hear what happens when we only amplify Earth. Again, that's Threshold Shift, a resident sound artist series, Friday mornings at 10, starting September 1st on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and streaming at kboo.fm.
Good morning. Next up is Art Focus. Art Focus has been made possible by KBOO members and support from the Oregon Symphony, presenting a special concert, Angelique Kidjo, with the Oregon Symphony. More info and tickets for this event with Angelique Kidjo at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall on Tuesday, September 26th, available now at orsymphony.org.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell him apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Roya Amir Soleimani and Erin Boberg. They're from PICA, the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, and they're here to talk about TBA 17. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
TBA happens every September. It's a 10-day festival of time-based art. Could you just tell us a little bit what time-based art is?
Sure. You know, when we came up with the name for the festival, we really liked the connotation of TBA is to be announced, but that's not really what it means. We just wanted to have a container to describe the kind of variety of work that artists are making and would be making in the future. And time-based art is a term that's paired with plastic arts or object-based art. So we're talking about art that uses duration, time, and space. So it's performative, whether it's visual art, film, music, dance, theater, art that's really a live art.
Mm-hmm. So TBA is always over multiple venues, and you always have some well-known people and then a lot of people you've never heard of, but you probably will hear of 5-10 years later because they're very cutting edge. So one of the big names opening night is Genesis P. Orridge. Roya, tell us what Genesis has been up to.
Sure. So it's pretty special that we're going to be able to open the festival on Thursday, September 7th, with a performance by Genesis, who is a legendary contemporary art performance and music figure. Very important to the history of industrial music. Genesis is originally from England and has been based in New York City for quite a long time. And they're a pioneer of the underground music scene, known for projects like Coombe Transmissions, Throbbing Gristle, and Psychic TV. So underground music fans will definitely know those names. But Genesis has also been important to the visual art, film, and performance world for quite a long time now. Has a pandrogynous gendered identity, was involved with a collaborator and life partner, Lady J, for many years until Lady J passed away several years ago. And part of Genesis' lifelong project has been to embody the spirit of Lady J. And so a lot of Genesis's projects are an attempt to sort of call a sort of twin spirit of both Genesis and Lady J, or a dual identity, a dual existence that transcends the earthly world and a spiritual world. So we have what will probably be a very transcendental kind of hypnotic experience of spoken word, performance, sound, and video that will run about half an hour on opening night at 8:30 p.m. That will be a solo performance by Genesis. And there are also some film screenings related to Genesis's work that are happening a bit later in the festival. This is a free show, though, on Thursday, September 7th at 8:30 in Pica's new venue, which is at 15 Northeast Hancock. It's a huge cavernous warehouse. So to have this striking solo show by this renowned international artist who's so important to the history of contemporary art in that space is really not to be missed, and there's no charge.
Mm-hmm. So I remember him as the bloke in Psychic TV.
Right.
And then the best thing about them was they always disbanded every time they were getting popular because he hated the idea of being commercial. And then he disappeared off to America and changed his gender. And then I haven't thought about him for about 20 years. So what's he going to be doing on stage? Singing?
Sure. So Genesis will, there are probably always surprises and, you know, kind of unpredictable elements in store with a Genesis performance. But what we know is that it will be sort of multimodal. So there will be video, there will be experimental sound, there will be monologue and text, and there will be live performance. So Genesis will be here in person, and it will be probably a kind of all-encompassing, immersive, full-body sort of experience. And we'll be sharing space with Genesis both on stage and kind of in the midst of the audience.
So some of the other highlights of the people you can catch on stage is a show called The Negro Problem. What's that about, Erin?
Sure. The Negro Problem is a musical performance that will be at Portland State University September 8th and 9th. And this work is really inspired by the art and life of James Baldwin. So Stu, who's the musician, and his collaborator, Heidi Rodwald, are this kind of jazz storytelling, looking at the life of James Baldwin. So for people who saw I Am Not Your Negro or have been reading about James Baldwin or haven't been and should be, this would be a great introduction to his work.
So it's jazz with spoken word,
yeah,
mainly?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a band with Stu and this kind of storytelling that's kind of poetic, like as you think about the way that jazz can influence or can include spoken word and even poetry.
Yeah, and very, very pertinent to, you know, the political landscape right now. I think I Am Not Your Negro is such a great example of how James Baldwin was ahead of his time in thinking and writing about the racial ecology of the country at, you know, mid-century. And now for that to be revisited by Stu and Heidi through this jazz and R&B influenced live music, poetry, text, visuals, that's going to feel, I think, very of our time now. Mm-hmm. So,
and this is a show that's been done elsewhere in New York, mm-hmm. but it's just coming here just for TBA.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Becca Blackwell.
Oh, great. Yeah, this is one of the shows I'm personally the most excited about. Becca is a trans artist who is hilarious, super charming. The show's called They Themselves and Shmerm. It's a personal...
What Shmerm?
Shmerm. Well, you know, I don't want to... Spoiler alert, I don't want to give it away because really good joke that's in the show. But I think if you think about the way that we can stumble over trying to get people's gender pronouns correctly and mm-hmm. that kind of awkward moment when you were trying to be respectful and you might be stumbling over pronouns. That's where that title comes from.
Okay.
And it's a joke on that. And it's really, you know, a coming of age story talking a lot about Becca's childhood growing up as a queer trans person. But it's very... very humorous and vulnerable, and I don't know. It's a show that I saw in January. I keep thinking about, and I'm really excited to see it again. So it's that kind of laughter through tears kind of show.
Yeah. And that's going to run four nights. And the Saturday, September 9th presentation of it is going to be ASL interpreted. So we'll have performance interpretation in ASL available for the deaf and hard of hearing communities. And also it's our first co-presentation with Artists Rep Theater.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be in Artists Rep's, one of their theaters up by, just off Burnside.
Correct.
Right. When you talk about trans actors and, trans actors, do people need to know whether it was a man who turned into a woman or the other way around?
We would usually just leave it up to the artist to identify how, you know, they would like to. In Becca's case, it's part of their show. And so they talk about being a trans person as part of the show. But I'm sure that there are trans people all throughout our community and the festival whose identity might not be part of their art. So we might not talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Morgan Bassich. Who's Morgan Bassich?
Sure, I can speak a bit to Morgan. So Morgan Bassich is curated as part of Themselves, which is the visual and performance program within this year's festival that Kristen Kennedy has curated, mm-hmm. Our visual art curator at PICA. And Morgan has two performances in the festival, actually. One is on Friday, September 8th at 8:30 p.m. at PICA's new building, 15 Northeast Hancock, and it's free of charge. And that's a piece called Daily Meditations, and it's going to be a bit more participatory. So if you like being engaged with the artist and with other audience members, that's a really good choice. And I think you're just going to have to show up and see what happens. But Morgan is also a very charming performer and has a range of talents from, you know, theatrical and performative to musical, song, et cetera, which actually segues into their other performance that you can catch at the Winningstad Theater, which is called Protest Songs. And that one is a bit more overtly political. Morgan will be performing with a band called Senior Energy on Sunday, September 10th and Monday, September 11th. Those are, again, both at the Winningstad Theater downtown. And that performance is going to be more along the lines of cabaret, comedy, kind of queer performance, campy history, that kind of performance history, but will be really in the spirit of sort of, protest music, song, manifesto, really, you know, again, kind of the moment in terms of what we're contending with politically. I think Morgan wouldn't hesitate to say it's a very queer performance. So I think it will be really fun and funny, but also deep and touching.
It's blurbed as an evening of protest songs to soothe your despair and stoke your outrage.
Stoke your outrage. Right.
So presumably that refers to Donald Trump being a president.
I'm sure that there's some of that. So,
do you think your artists this year have reacted to the results of November's election? Is that visible in the work, or was it all picked and done before that?
Some of the projects, I think, you know, a lot of this political and social stress was in the air before the election. So I think it's affected everyone. It can take some time for artists to create their work. They're working on different cycles. So sometimes, you know, something like this show, Protest Songs, I imagine there could be a new song popping up, you know, that day if there's something in the news. Other projects have taken longer to develop and are really honed and set by the time that they get to us. But I think it's interesting to see for us how works resonate with different experiences, and sometimes we find new meanings in them as, you know, we experience the daily news.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know how TV comedy reacts within minutes, mm-hmm. or hours to events in the news. Do you think your artists, you know, they're trying to step back from that? Because I've talked to artists about this, and they're like, they don't want to go there to be obviously political. They're trying to think of images that take longer to, generate meaning.
I would say that, you know, artists are working with certain kinds of forms and experiences and ways of engaging an audience or a public that employ things like humor and political commentary and such, but do it in a very unique way. So when we have an artistic experience that we attach political meaning to, hopefully that is different from just watching the news or just watching a comedy special on TV or just reading the newspaper. I think what we hope for and what artists hope for is that we think differently about our political circumstances or our social and, cultural conditions as a result of having an artistic experience. And some artists really do marinate on ideas for quite a long time, and they're responding to sort of the accumulation of political strife over a period, and will take longer to process and develop that a work that's in response to that, and their work might be more, the political connotations might be more subtle, and others will be very ferocious. I mean, we have a night of feminist, queer, indigenous, and Chicana punk rock on the final night of the festival that is going to be in your face, and it's going to be very overt, and I think that's going to be a night where anger and rage and our shared sentiments about our political climate are going to be really tangible and very rageful. And then on other nights, it might be that you walk away and you're still thinking for days about this sort of underlying political manifesto that might have been present in a certain performance. So,
and I think other artists propose a kind of utopia or a suspended state where we could all be together and not think about, the 24-hour news cycle or something like that, but get to something deeper, to share that space together for just an hour, which can be really transformative too.
Yeah. And think about alternative realities to the one that we're in right now.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Roya Amir-Soleil Monet and Erin Boberg, and they're from the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, and they're talking about TBA 17, which is the time-based art festival, which runs September the 7th through the 17th at various places around Portland. Roya, you were saying that Bushra Uzgan was going to be an important artist that people should try and catch. Who is Bushra?
Sure. So Bushra is a choreographer who is based in Morocco, in Marrakesh, and she has been working for quite a long time now with a group of other Moroccan women who come from a more traditional form of performance, both singing and kind of vocalization as well as movement. And she is trained in a more contemporary and experimental form of dance. So in working for the last decade with these women in Morocco, in all kinds of both urban and rural settings in Morocco, they've been developing evening length productions of work that are drawing from both contemporary and traditional movement and dance vocabularies. So Bushra is really interested in what happens when you merge sort of traditional and contemporary forms. She's also interested in what happens when people can come together in the local setting that she's presenting her work. So what's interesting about Bushra's performance for TBA is that it not only engages the performers from Morocco, there are 20 or 30 local women and or people who identify as women participating in this show. So there, and those people may or may not identify as artists or dancers. It's really a kind of broad,
who's picking
broad
them?
Engagement. Bushra herself, she's been leading some work. She led some workshops in February. She'll be here shortly, and we'll be leading some more workshops actually. And they're open to the public, so people can participate and see how it feels, and maybe they'll be invited to perform as well. But really, even a workshop would be a powerful experience. And this work is going to be a short piece.
It's called Corbeau, The Crows.
Yeah.
Just what is
Erin
it about?
Maybe Erin wants to jump in on this one.
Yeah, so with the crows and with the movement, we've been seeing her work on through the workshops. It's sort of a flocking, like a group of crows. So what you'll see if you come to the performances is you'll see the women from Morocco and the women from Portland all blended together, and doing this kind of flocking crow-like movement and vocalization that's very rhythmic and hypnotic and
almost trance-like.
Yeah, almost trance-like and ceremonial. So I think it will. It really does. It looks like something that is a blend between traditional and contemporary, and is completely unique. So I encourage you to come. This would be a great show to bring children to. We have one in Peninsula Park that's free on September 10th at 5 p.m. So you could come and, you know, your children can run around in the park and tune into the show a little bit or not while you watch. And I think it's going to be really captivating.
Another person that we should look at is Dead Thoroughgood. Is that
Thoroughbred.
Right?
Yeah, Dead Thoroughbred is a collaboration between two Portland-based artists, Keon Gaskin and Sidonie O'Neill. And they've been working together on multiple projects that involve installation, performance, text, dance. And they're really... I think this is one of those kind of projects where the protest or the... response to the political climate is embedded in the work in a way that is very poetic and not necessarily overt, but I think that you'll really feel it when you're in the room. They're not so interested in making the audience comfortable or always explaining everything that they do. So you can even see in the description of the work that they. It's kind of a manifesto of some of their ideas they're working with, like Dead Thoroughbred is anti-capital. Well, that's a little poem you have to think about as you're going into the work. So, yeah, I would encourage folks, to come see that. They're really strong Portland-based artists who are, whose work is touring or, around, and they're very interesting, and it's one of those projects where even we as staff don't know exactly what they're going to do because they're performing, this piece for the first time.
Oh, yeah. But it's two people on a stage. We can say that.
We can
Well, there's no stage. I would say there's two people in a room, and you'll be in the room with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the room will be dark. I can tell you that. So be prepared to maybe be a little uncomfortable.
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah.
There's the Institute is the series of lectures and talks that goes on parallel with all these. And it's usually an artist, they'll do a show at night and then the next day they'll show up and talk about their work. And the public are invited. How much is it per...
Sure. Actually, most of the Institute program is free. So there's really no charge. We really built a more robust Institute program in the last few years that include the daily talks with different festival artists that are moderated by local scholars or other artists or performers or even people that we bring in from out of town. But we also this year, it's our second year of having a guest scholar cohort. So we've invited six guest scholars. Are academics in different realms of performance and theater and dance and all of these different sort of areas of focus for TBA.
Anyone we've heard of?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah. So one of them is also an artist that some people might know the name of through Pica or other avenues. Keith Hennessy, who is based in San Francisco, will be here as a guest scholar. And he is actually sharing an hour of lecture time with Lydia Bronner, another guest scholar, on Friday, September 8th at 4 p.m. at Pica's downtown space. And that's free of charge. And so they'll both be lecturing about their current research and work. And for people who are interested in in a more kind of explicit discussion around the current political climate, that's exactly what Keith will be lecturing about and wanting to have a conversation with locals about. So his work is very poetic, but the spirit of his art performance, research, and writing is really about protest and activism. And he's been long time engaged in street level activism in the Bay Area and around the world through artistic and just kind of street protest politics. Mm-hmm. So that will be a neat one to check out. And I did want to mention another piece of the Institute this year that's pretty special. Tuesday, September 12th, there's a free performance of poets and writers. So they'll not only be reading their work, but they'll be accompanied, their readings and presentations of their text and their writing will be accompanied by video art and live music. And there are four artists involved in that. Samia Bashir is the curator for that evening, and she's a professor of creative writing at Reed College. And then she has the participating artists are Shayla Lawson, and Dow Strom, who are both local Portland-based writers, and Ronaldo V. Wilson, who's a renowned poet internationally, will be coming from California and presenting. And then the video art elements are by Roland Dawen Wu, who's local to Portland. So that'll be a really neat showcase, Tuesday the 12th at Pica's new Northeast location, and it's free, 6:30 p.m.
So this TBA always has different elements. It has, you know, the headliners, and then there's the visual show, which you said is a bit more performative this year, and then there's the works, which traditionally is like a party afterwards where you can sort of meet the artists and there's other entertainment there. So tell us where the works is this year.
Sure. The works is going to be in our Pica's new home, 15 Northeast Hancock, and we have the festival there.
This is your second year in the home.
This is our second year. The difference is this year, once we move in, we're not moving back out. That's going to be our hub for the next 20 years at least. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to really make that our home and, you know, look forward to more programming year-round as well. Friday night, we're having a return of Kelly Pratt's project called No No Soliciting. And it's really kind of a dream team band of local musicians who will take, who will solicit suggestions from the audience. So they'll take, I think it's a musical style and a topic and one other thing. They'll go back and take about 10 minutes to compose a new song and perform it. And it was just a wonderful project last year in the way that you could get to see how a song is made and how quickly, you know, they can come together. They actually rehearse it a little bit in front of the audience before they play it.
And it's backed by popular demand.
Yeah, so exactly. Instantly after the show, people in the band and the audience were saying, we want to do this again next year. Yeah. So we said yes right away. Yeah. And then another repeat favorite, Critical Mascara. This will be the fifth and final Critical Mascara drag ball. And they're changing the format a little bit this year. They're going to have curated performances, kind of a best of some of the favorites if you've been to Critical Mascara before, and then followed by an all walk portion of the ball. So if anyone wants to come and walk the runway, anyone is welcome to do that. And they're removing the competition element this year, so it'll be less like a RuPaul's Drag Race kind of competition and more of a community celebration.
And that's Saturday, September 9th, 10:30 p.m. at our late night location, that 15 Northeast Hancock. And the next day, actually, 2 p.m., there will be a panel discussion that includes a lot of the people who've been involved in Critical Mascara over the years, leaders of local Vogue and drag houses, and artists who have been really important to the development of the drag and drag performance scene in the Pacific Northwest. And it will be that discussion will be moderated by Madison Moore, who's a visiting scholar we have from London for the festival. And Madison's background is and research is in kind of queer nightlife and parties and music and popular culture. So,
how much are tickets? I know you can get a pass or you can get individual tickets, and a lot of shows are free. What should people pay?
The prices of the shows are listed on, you know, they vary by each show. A lot of the shows, as you say, are free or sliding scale. We're trying that out more this year. So I'd say about $0 to $25 is the ticket range. And then you can also, there's various levels of passes. If you want to see multiple shows, you can get a savings on that. And we really encourage people to get the pass to immerse themselves in the festival and take a chance on seeing some shows by artists they might not know yet. Most of the shows are at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30. So if you just have a day that you want to say, I'm going to just try three things, you could do that in the festival with a pass or through buying individual tickets. And we also do offer passes and tickets for volunteers. So if you'd like to come and volunteer for the festival and earn some tickets or passes, you can email volunteer@pica.org.
So an enthusiast pass gets you six shows for $150, and an immersion pass gets you everything for $250.
Right, and just to clarify, that enthusiast pass at $150 includes six of the main stage shows, those early evening shows, but also all of the late night shows are included, and also the workshops, which are part of the institute, that public programs part of the festival, and those are also included in that pass.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Roya Amir-Soleimani and Erin Boberg. They're with the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, and they were here talking about TBA 17, the time-based art festival, which runs September the 7th to the 17th. Thanks for coming to KBOO.
Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday